Greetings in the name of Jesus. I've been inspired thus far this morning in this worship service. I want to welcome all to this service, welcome the visitors with us. God bless you for coming and choosing to worship with us. I want to just reread a verse that Brother Cliff read, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. This morning I trust that is the vision that we have for this service, to see God's power at work in our life. As I was thinking of the Sunday school lesson this morning, I guess I must be honest with you. My message is a continuation of our Sunday school lesson. Not that I should have looked what our Sunday school was, but I'm not going to make no apologies for that. It is also a message on choices. I chose to read from Genesis 4, 1 through 16. This is in the book of Genesis. This is Genesis we looked at as a book of beginnings. It throws a fast flashlight on the early history of humanity. In this book, we have the first things. In the fourth chapter, we have the first father, the first mother, the first birth, the first son, the first altar, the first murder, and the first death. All in that fourth chapter. And we also have humanity divided into two group of people. And two chapters later, we have an ungodly and a godly intermarrying, bringing the godly down to 8 souls. Now, there is a lot of years in them chapters, but we do not have much written. But we do have enough written that we understand humanity has choices to make. Thinking of choices, thinking of our life, you know, you're thinking of the first 25 years of your life. You make very, very important choices. Most of them choices go with you for life and extend to eternity. Most times, we choose a life companion. And there's a lot of other choices that we do make. This morning, I have a very elementary message, and it is about two boys being raised in the same family, same teachings, but they each had a decision to make. They each had a choice. Right at this time, I want to read Genesis 4, 1 through 16. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the first things of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be on the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever shall slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him shall kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. This morning, we want to look at the first two brothers that were ever born on the earth. God had created the parents, and he told Adam and Eve that they should be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. We understand that sin was in the garden. They were cast out. They were in the east side of the east end of the garden. And that's where the family began. Now, Cain, it's interesting the definitions and the meanings of the word Cain and the word Abel. Cain means that they are acquire, and I have gotten a man from the Lord, as we read there. And Abel also means breath. This is the word translated vanity 38 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. So, and you get them two words together, and Cain reminds us that life comes from God, and Abel's name means that life is brief. So I think there we have the first two conclusions that life does come from God, and that also life is very brief. We also noticed there was a conflict between the two brothers. It's evident that these two boys got, as they got older, they had different in interests. Cain became a farmer and Abel became a shepherd. And Adam certainly taught his sons how to work it, that it was necessary to work. This was a part of God's creation, the mandate that he were commanded to keep the ground, to keep the earth. And they were commanded that they should work. Work is not a punishment. You know, often sometimes people have the concept that work is a punishment from God, but it is not. Work isn't a punishment from God because of sin. Because Adam was told to keep the garden before even sin was became known to man. The biblical approach to work is that we are privileged to cooperate with God using his creation gifts for the good of people and for the glory of God. I'd like to read a verse or two in Colossians. Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey all in all things, your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service or as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. So whatever our hands find to do, we are doing the work unto the Lord, as it were, unto our Lord, even though we have work for another person. Work is a blessing, not a curse. Think of it. Think if you would be ill, if you'd be crippled, you'd be wishing that you could do something. So work is really, actually, it is a blessing. The Bible has nothing really good to say to those that are idle or expect others to provide for them. The Bible doesn't really have anything good for them about this, to say about those kind. It is that we are expected to provide and work. And these two boys, that's exactly what they were doing. Theodore Roosevelt said this: "The best prize that life offers is a chance to work hard at work worth doing." I thought that's a good phrase. And, you know, if you enjoy work, it is a blessing. You know, it's a wonderful that you can pour your heart into what you are doing. And then we do it all for the honor and the glory of God. In Genesis 3:19, it says that by the sweat of our face shall we eat bread. So we are expected to work. Now, in verses 3 to 5 in the chapter that we read, we have a worship scene. In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the offering of the ground and Abel the firstlings of his flock. Now, what we're thinking of worship is an open communication with us and God. What is worship? It is a reverence offered to a divine being, an act of expressing reverence. We give honor, we give praise, we adore. It is giving of ourselves to the Lord. Our worship reflects our attitude about God. How we worship and how we present ourselves to God is a reflection of what we think about God. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, God used the skins of animals to clothe them. Now, this was an indication that God taught them about sacrifices and the shedding of blood. We can believe that this was also passed on to the children, because here we have Abel here bringing a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. We learned that God himself, and for he alone was the right to lay down the conditions how we approach him for worship. You know, we don't read anywhere that Adam and Eve offered a sacrifice. We don't read that. But in indicating that Abel did it, they must have done it, but it's not recorded in the scriptures. But I have a feeling that Adam and Eve, they would have done that, because Abel here, he did that. So we want to look at their sacrifices here and see what God has to say about this here. We have both bringing a sacrifice. Abel here, he brought the first things of the flock. It indicating that he would have brought the best, which he would have pointed to the future of the Passover feast, the lamb. And even in Genesis 8, we see that Noah, he brought an offering after the flood. In verse 20, Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took in every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings unto the altar, on the altar. So it's an indication there was sacrifice offerings in the pre-flood stage time. In Hebrews 9:22, "And almost all the things that are by the law are purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission." The word remission simply means there is no forgiveness. So there was God used here an animal to cover a man, because sin revealed the shame of man. And therefore, God used the skins of animals to cover the shame of man. Therefore, sin revealed death. Something had to die because of sin. and God used an animal in this case. So animal sacrifices were used for worship in the remembrance of their covering of their shame of sin, which later on we read under the Passover, how in Egypt, how the death angel passed over as the blood was applied to the lintels and to the doorposts. And also later on, when Jesus came as a perfect Lamb of God, as a sacrifice for sin, for once and for all. Life is only through sacrifice of the life of Jesus Christ. Now, we want to look at Cain's sacrifice, but on the Cain and his offering. Notice that. What the scripture says, but unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. So it's indicating that it was more than just that his offering was not accepted. It was seemingly that God understood Cain's heart. His sacrifice represented something of his giving of his, he was a tiller of the ground. He gave what he had done. But, you know, we hoe, we take out the weeds, we nourish. That is something that man done, and he gave that as an offering. Therefore, God was not pleased because it was not an offering that gave life. That life had to be given for looking back for the sin offering that God had pointed to back there when they had sinned. In 1 John 3:12, it says this, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and therefore slew him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. There, I think it gives a clarity of thought as to God indicating, knowing that Cain's heart, his ways were evil. His attitude was evil. In Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. So I think we understand that Cain's heart was not right. Cain's response also was an indicator of his heart. Notice what God told him. He said, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? He asked him questions. You know, he didn't accuse Cain. He said, he just asked him a simple question. Why art you wroth? Why art you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? Why? You know, that's how God works. He don't say. He asks questions. I admire God. I admire his way, how he handles us. Anger is an emotion that is expressed when someone does not fill our expectations. Cain expected God to accept whatever offer he offered according to his own standard. But you know, God set the standards. Therefore, must come under God's standards as to how we give and how we respond to God in worship. In verse 6, we noticed, like we said, the heart of God. God approached Cain in love and in mercy. Again, God had a convicting questions. God made no accusations. He gave him the opportunity to do well. He said, if thou doest well, shall thou be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall thou be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So God gave him an opportunity, an opportunity to do well, that is to make a right kind of sacrifice with the right attitude of heart. Often thought, back in the day, God spoke audibly, didn't he? He heard him. What would you and I say if we all of a sudden hear a voice? Often thought about that. But you know, God uses you and I as mouthpiece for him. You know, God didn't strike him down, but he said, sin is lying at the door. Door of your heart, there's sin lying there. It's like a lion ready to crouch. You ever see a cat coming on of his prey, sneaking? All of a sudden, it leaps, gets its prey. That's how Satan works. That's exactly how Satan works. The enemy is at your door. And that's what God was trying to tell Cain. The enemy is at your door. Don't open the door. Don't open the door. It's dangerous to carry grudges and harbor bitter feelings in our hearts. By doing this, Satan has the advantage to temptation and sin. I think that is why Cain, he was wroth. Who was he really wroth at? Was he wroth at his brother? Apparently, he was jealous of his brother's offering that he was accepted and his was not, because later on he slew him. But so he had an animosity against his brother. There's a little saying that says this: the longer a chicken sits on her eggs and keeps them warm, they will hatch. Same as anger. The longer you brood over it, it will hatch. Remember that. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. The longer you dwell on wrong and evil thoughts, revenge seems justifiable. So you see here that enemy, the anger is the enemy in Cain's heart. That it was a powerful emotion that led him to violence and even to murder. Jesus taught that anger in the heart is a moral equivalent to murder with the hands. Today's standards, we are not to hate our brother. That is a moral value of killing your enemy. Jesus' teachings go to the root of the problem in Luke 6:45. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance, this it is, for the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What is ever inside will be revealed on the outside. The heart, as the heart is, so is the man. Now, in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, verse 29 and 30, And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. Now, what was Jesus saying? So if our eyes offend us, if we do wrong things because of our eyes, we cut them out. Or if we do wrong things with our hands, we cut our hands off. Is that what God is speaking? Would that have helped the problem? I don't think so. It's in our hearts. Our hearts. We got to have a heart change in order that we respond right and do right. Therefore, it is not that we cast these physical members from our eyes, but it is a spiritual cleansing that we need, that we not perish and cast into hell. We see here that envy was the first sin, then anger. What was the underlying revealing problem was the envious between his brother and his offering. Now in 1 John 3:12, I should read that verse yet. 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, therefore slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So in two things here, we see that Cain had an unwilling to get right with God. That God gave him an opportunity, but Cain did not take that opportunity. He was unwilling to get right with God, but God pleaded with Cain, if you do well, won't you be accepted? You know, God was not asking any more from Cain than he was from Abel. You know, number two, Cain did not love God, therefore he did not love his brother. Seemingly, that is a connection. Loving God, you will love your brother. If you don't love your brother, you don't love God. See, there is a connection between the two. Humbleness is what fertilizes the soul of our heart in which to prepare a home for Christ to live in. So we see that Cain's choice was a stubbornness and unwillingness to change. He had a self-centered relationship. Cain felt God should accept him, even though he did give a different offering, but he felt God should accept his offering as well as Abel's offering. But God set the standards. But God, I just admire God's love and his mercy. God is a God of love. Always remember that. God is a God of love. And he just asked him, where is your brother? Choices have benefit and choices have consequences. You know, Abel's good choice brought peace and rest. Now, Cain's choice in verse 11, we want to look at Cain's choice and what the consequences of his choice was. Thou art cursed from the earth. What does all this mean? You know, the serpent was cursed earlier, and he had to crawl on the ground. Seemingly, he did not have to crawl before, but then he had to crawl. And we also noticed in the beginning that the earth was cursed. The earth was cursed with thorns and thistles because of sin. Now, I had to ponder that thought a while. Why did God use that illustration as thorns and thistles? Well, think about it. Think about sin. Think about thorns and thistles. What does a thorn and thistle have? It has them pickers on you, right? They grab a hold of it, and it hurts you. Well, that's what sin does. It does the same thing. It doesn't have any side benefit. Now, it says that he would be a fugitive and a vagabond. Let's ponder them two words, fugitive and a vagabond. Okay, a vagabond has no home. A fugitive is running from home. A stranger is away from home. But a pilgrim is heading home. Which one are you? Are you running from home? Or you have no home? Or are you heading home? Cain made the wrong choice. Instead of being a pilgrim in life, he became a vagabond, a fugitive, running and wandering to and fro. It says the earth was cursed, so he couldn't stay at one place and plant something and expect it to grow. It would not grow for Cain. So he had to wander for his food and wander from here and yon. And God also placed a mark on him that no man should kill him. That is also God's mercy. That was God's mercy. But Cain chose to slay his brother and then refused to repent, brought him a life-changing consequences. The earth turned against him. God sent him sentences upon him. The people turned against him. You know, Cain opened that door of temptation, and he closed the door to his family and God and the future. He went and left. Notice there, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He made a choice, a life-changing choice, that he did not change his ways. No matter where he lived or what he did, Cain would always be a restless man because he refused the remedy. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. This was a deliberate choice. This was a choice going away from God. We do see God's mercy in spite of what he done. He set a mark upon him. God marked him. I don't know how what that mark was. The Bible really doesn't give us a real indication what the mark was. It was I don't know. We don't really know. The choice of Cain was a very dark day from the beginning of the human history. We see here we have a godly line of Abel, and then we have a godly line of Seth, and then we have an ungodly line of Cain. Righteous Abel was slain. Wickedness had a head start, but Seth was also born, and he became the godly line. Our choices affect us in life and eternity. We often say this point. We say eternal destiny is a matter of a choice, not a chance. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, there God set the standard to do through Jesus Christ that we can have life and have life eternal. You know, Cain, he did not accept those conditions. Life presents many choices. The choices we make determine our future. In every single thing you do, you are choosing a direction. It is either way from God or toward God. It is either for God or against God. Our decisions and choices in life tell others the conditions of your heart. What is your condition of your heart this morning? May God be blessed as we make wise choices, because choices affect our eternal destination. Let us kneel to pray.